sound.
Two guys with no credentials.
Reviewing Rolling Stone 500
greatest album.
Coastal Wave. I don't really go into the
hoppy
really hoppy IPAs anymore. I just decided I tried them enough and thought, why do I keep drinking these? Because I don't like them.
Yep.
It doesn't make any sense.
Anyway. All right, we're recording. We'll release that as a midweek fun beer episode. Nod.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Sound Logic Podcast. And today we are re-ranking the last 10 albums, albums 91 to 100 on Rolling Stone Magazine's top 500 list. Ben, we did it. 100 albums on this list.
100 albums. Sometimes we refer to these blocks of 10 as a decade.
Yeah.
Maybe we've completed
our first
a century.
Century. Hey, perfect. I love it.
Yeah, this is for those who may have just found this podcast in the last few episodes, all you Swifties who are now along for the ride.
Yay.
Welcome. Every 10 episodes, we like to take a look back, retrospective look back, and figure out if we were doing the ranking, how would we order this block of 10? And then at the end of the episode, decide if any of these 10 are worthy of being included in our ongoing all-time top 10 list made up of albums from this list. So I'm excited to do that again tonight. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So it's fun because I think we go through and we're reviewing and we're recording and editing. Well, Ben, you're editing. Ben's been doing all the editing for us lately, which of course I really appreciate. And he does a wonderful job. And then all of a sudden we finish 10. Oh, we get to do this fun bit that we do every 10 albums. So it's fun to come back to it. So here's the way this works. We're start from the 10 or the lowest ranked, I guess.
Yeah.
We'll tell you what Rolling Stone had there and then the rank that we put them in. So we've got a shared doc that we block out. So let me unblock this so that we don't know ahead of time what the other host has picked. And now we unblock that and there we can see everything.
Unblock complete.
All right.
We've got some diversity here.
Diversity, but we started
aside
the same
from one. Looks like everything else is a little bit different. So
mixed.
Yeah, this will be good.
Cool.
Yeah.
There's a few things about your ranking here that don't surprise me at all. So we'll talk about that. This is good. Okay. The 10th spot, the number 100 album on Rolling Stone's list was Music from Big Pink by The Band. And Ben, why don't you go first? We picked the same album here. Okay.
The
spoilers.
Only one of these 10 that we
the only
have
one that we,
is
we
spot.
Yeah. Yeah. What is it, Ben? Tell us.
This is Funhouse by The Stooges. Stooges before Iggy and the Stooges, I guess. Yeah, kind of a pre-punk album that is messy, and intentionally so, I think. But I'm guessing we both found that messiness to be a bit fatiguing at times.
Yeah, sometimes it's did I like it or not, sometimes it's do I think it was good or not, and sometimes it's will I listen to it again? And I think it was more so, I'm not going to listen to this again. It really didn't grab me. I thought it was okay. And for what it was and the era it came out, it was, of course, revolutionary. But just not for me. I'm not going to revisit that.
Yeah.
Time soon. Let's go to the next one. Not obviously not a whole lot to say about Funhouse, so we'll move on to the number 9 spot for Rolling Stone was Red by Taylor Swift. Ben, I'd like you to go next here. What have you got at your 9 spot?
This is where I put Metallica's Master of Puppets. I think what you just said about Funhouse adequately describes how I feel about Master of Puppets. Not that it's not, I can see why people think it's great. It's just not an album I'm going to return to. I don't really enjoy the genre. And as much as I appreciated our conversation with Peter, I felt empowered in that conversation to claim when I don't actually like something and to say, not for me.
And, you know what? I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I think Peter would like that.
I think he would. I think he'd appreciate it.
I hope he'd be on board.
As sad as he is.
He'd be mad that you didn't put it higher. He might be mad at me too. We'll see. I'll reflect on that a little later. I resonate with some of those comments. I haven't put Master Puppets here. This is where I put Supa Dupa Fly by Missy Misdemeanor Elliott. Oh man, I think she's so great. And it makes me sad to put it down here. I think she's just an incredible artist, a trendsetter for hip hop.
So chill.
And women in hip hop, like one of the early 90s female hip hop artists. So she's awesome. This is just not really my thing. It's really cool and it's got some nostalgia in the sounds, but not. There's other songs by her that I think I like more from other albums, and I'm interested in looking into those albums. It was a cool vibe, but probably won't listen to it too much.
Anything else?
Well, let's pause for just a second. Let's go to the next one, because you get to talk about that, because Rolling Stone had Car Wheels on a Gravel Road by Lucinda Williams, but this is where you had Supa Dupa Fly. So let us know how you feel about that one.
I echo a lot of what you said. I feel uncool for putting it here, because this album is so cool. It doesn't feel... Yeah. I'm a bit ashamed that I have this ranked so low, because it really is a cool album, and she's got so much attitude that I really enjoy and respect, but I won't be returning, I don't think, anytime soon to this album in particular. And while I like it more than Funhouse and Master Puppets, it just wound up here based on what came after it.
I think that's fair. I like that. And you know, continuing on that vein, in this 8 spot is where I put Take Care by Drake. Now, again, and we talked about this while we reviewed it. The hits and some of the catchy songs, like, I think are just awesome and I love them. And then there's a lot of the album that I do not remember at all. And so I think that the songs I really liked on this one, I liked more than the songs I liked on Supa Dupa Fly, and I might it's a little more current and I might listen to it a little more, but still there was a lot that I was just like, I just don't remember it. So that that's I, and you know what, we say that we're not hip hop fans, and we didn't grow up listening to that. That being said, I like hip hop a lot. There's a lot of stuff we listen to that I really enjoy. There are some hip hop albums that we've listened to that I've ranked very high in our 10, I think. Not all of them, but some of them, and hip hop and R&B. These ones just didn't do it for me. So I don't want to think like, oh, you guys are just, you're just gonna rank the genres you like at the top. No, I mean, we grew up with bop and post punk and pre punk. Punk and all that stuff. So, you know, it's, but we didn't really like Funhouse. So anyways, that's where I got Take Care. And we'll do the same thing we did last time. Number 7 is 97 Master Puppets by Metallica. That's what Rolling Stone had. But now we'll move for you for Take Care, because you had number Take Care in the number 7 spot.
I didn't realize just how big Drake was. And so I'm really glad I finally got to actually digest an actual album of his.
Right.
Really songs. Like, I think I remember saying before we reviewed it, I don't think I know anything by Drake. And to have that sort of knowledge is really great. But I think I also realized, similar, I think, to Kanye, I love his production, but I'm not terribly intrigued by his vocalization.
Okay, sure.
He does some incredibly catchy things with the way that his music is produced, but not, it doesn't draw me in enough to want to go back.
So I'll say mine next, but I want to preamble it with this. The last three of these 10 were pretty easy for me.
Okay.
The first one or two or three came pretty easy. And the middle was really hard. And a really hard time. I think I could shuffle around anyway. And a lot of them I was like, oh, did I like it that much? Or did I like it more than that? I feel like I should have liked that more. Why is that so low?
Yeah.
So I just kind of stuck with it. So we can talk with that. So this is where I've got Lucinda Williams' Car Wheels on a Gravel Road. I feel a little bad for having it this low because we had such a great conversation. We had such a great conversation with Pia and with Sue. And I don't know. I think I wanted to like it more, but maybe I need more time with it. I don't know. It's really good. It's really relaxed. It's got a great sound. Maybe it's not my thing. Maybe there's still some of that voice echoing that when, you know, Lilith Fair came out and we had this male aversion. Oh, we can't listen to chick music, you know. Maybe there's some of that that's lingering in the back of my brain. I don't know, but I'm still looking forward to listening to this more. I've actually got it in my headphones right now because I wanted to just have it in there. This is where I put Car Wheels on a Gravel Road, and I think that don't let the number 7 spot think that it's the 7th worst album, because it's a great album and it's a great
deal. And like you said, there's a bunch here that are toss-ups for you.
Yeah, and I mean, again, this is an artist that I've never been exposed to ever, you know, so maybe I need more time, and I think it's something I could love, and I also struggle too. I want to put it more because we had a conversation with two people who have a great emotional and personal connection to this music, so it's like, oh man, part of me is like, I want to have that too, and it's like, well, no, I don't have that. Like, that's not mine. That's
theirs. Don't force it.
Exactly, right? So anyways, that's some of my struggle in all of this, but that's where I put that. So we'll leave it at that for now. Number 6 spot for Rolling Stone was Automatic for the People by R.E.M. I'll go here.
Okay.
This is where I put Master of Puppets by Metallica. Now, I don't listen to hardly any metal at all. So I don't know how much I would actually listen to this. I might listen to Car Wheels more than I would come back to this, but this album is wild. Like, just awesome. It's like just getting, like exactly what Peter said, just getting smacked in the face over and over and over again for 8 tracks or 10 tracks or whatever it was. And Peter helping us understand more of the musicianship of it, the genius of it, the theory, way more theory and thoughtfulness and structure and everything behind it. The composition of it really surprised me. There was so much more to it than I thought, and Peter really helped us understand that, and I really, really appreciated that about our conversation. And it helped me appreciate it more. So I think it's amazing. I will listen to it again. My kids are into it. Asher has pulled out my electric guitar last night and wanted to mess around on that. And I heard him playing. I heard him playing the Master Puppets riff.
No way!
It's so cool. Funny. Learning that, you know, a little slower, but still really, really fun. Playing with, you know, the kids have mucked around on our acoustic guitars, but never played, you know, push the distortion button, you know, see what happens. You know, it's kind of cool. So anyways, I've got it here. I could have it a little lower because it's not really a genre I love. I could have it a little higher because I think it's really, really a really special and awesome album and full of that power and that fire and all that cool stuff. So anyways, it's that's a tough one. And we've talked about this before, an album that you really appreciate and really see how good it is and you like it, but it's just not one that's in your regular kind of wheelhouse of listen. That's how I feel about this. I'm going to turn it over before I keep rambling. This is where you've got Jimi Hendrix, Axis, Bold as Love. Hendrix, like, you know, this is the third album we've done by Hendrix and considered, you know, one of the greatest guitarists ever. And you bumped this down a little bit. So tell us about Axis, Bold as Love here.
Yeah, I think this is my least favorite of the three Hendrix albums
we've listened to.
Okay. A bit more experimental, certainly, than their debut.
Yeah.
Really cool production, but Yes. As I'm looking at its title, I none of the tracks are coming back to me. It's like, oh, but that's on there. And usually when that happens, that's, you know, I know it's good, but nothing was holding on or lasting in in my journey through it. So it sort of sticks in the middle. I don't want to drop it down because I know that there's brilliance there. But it's sort of flavorless, that not sticking with me long enough, I guess. I empathize a little bit with your challenge of these middle few albums here. This one just felt like I think it was probably the last one I put in. Sort of had my bottom four, my top five, and oh, there's one left. Guess it goes here.
Yeah. Okay.
So yeah, like it maybe says more about how I ranked these than, you know, actually that it belongs here. But anyway, yeah.
Okay. I'd like to go next, and I'll tell you why in a second. So number 95, fifth spot for Rolling Stone was Take Care, Drake. This is where I've got Automatic for the People by R.E.M. I see that you really like this. So I would make a lot of the same comments that you just made about Axis Bold as Love. I don't remember a lot of the tracks. Now, this is a very nostalgic album for you. You've listened to it a lot, especially in your college university years. And I have next to no experience with it. I knew a few of the songs. I knew, you know, Drive. I knew Man on the Moon. There's one other big one there, I think. But I didn't really know the rest. A cool album, but one I need to spend more time with. And I don't have some of those memories. And R.E.M. is one of those bands that like I like, but I never really get into. So, again, I could bump this down a few because I don't know. I haven't really been inspired to come back to it yet, but sure. I do like it. It was good. It is, again, in the genre of things, you know, the style of music that I like to listen to. But
it's fascinating for me to hear you talk about that album as not having much memorable stuff on it. Because it's one of those albums for me that I know what song comes next before it even starts playing.
Right. Yes.
And I wonder if some of the nostalgia has propped it up beyond the era it came out of. I think I remember you referencing that it sounds like a 90s alternative album.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's sort of risen above its era in some ways for me. So anyway, it's just fascinating for two guys who sort of were born around the same time to experience something so vastly differently in the same moment in time is pretty interesting.
I'm really curious about your choice here for the number five. Darkness on the Edge of Town, Bruce Springsteen. And the reason I say that, if you're new to this, Ben has talked a lot about how he's such a huge fan of Born to Run. Quickly became one of his favorites, one of his top 10. And you did say in our review that you were not immediately smitten by this Darkness album. So talk us through that a bit.
Darkness on the Edge of Town. I really liked this album a lot. It didn't grab me right away, and I think our conversation with Greg bumped it up slightly in my head.
Oh, really? Oh, wow. Yeah.
I think had I looked at this list before we began, I probably would have put it in my top three. But having it here at five reminds me that there are two albums here that I did not expect to have as much enjoyment with still to come. And so, it's here almost apologetically because I got surprised by a couple here and they wound up.
Okay, wow, that's exciting.
Just slightly edging it out. Okay. I like this one more than a couple of the other Springsteen albums I've listened to that are not on this list, but it doesn't come anywhere close to, that Springsteen album,
right.
Born to Run, that I have in my personal top 10. So, it's unfortunately stuck here at number five.
Okay.
Yep.
Number four, where Rolling Stone has Funhouse by the Stooges. And I'm going to go here, which will make sense for what's coming next. This is where I had Jimi Hendrix experience, Axis Bold as Love. Maybe again, this is one I need to switch around a bit. I haven't come back to it, but like part of me wants to say, and I don't know, there's this guitarist or teen in me, but it's Jimmy, but it's Jimmy.
Yeah.
It's Jimmy.
But maybe that's why I had it as high as I did too, for an album I don't really remember.
Yeah.
It just felt like it. I couldn't put it any lower.
Right. So, I mean, I listened to a lot of John Mayer, especially his first handful of albums. I still like John Mayer, his music, that is. And two of the songs on this album are two that he's covered on his albums. I talked about that. Yes. So, like, I really like those songs. There's other songs I like. I like this album more than Electric Ladyland. That was a little too experimental for me. This is experimental, but not as much. It's my second favorite. I still think Are You Experienced is my favorite. It's good. It's really good. I mean, he's just amazing. So, but I do have to be in the mood for it. So, again, I could these, I think the next three are pretty firmly in the top three, but the last four that I talked about, I think you could shuffle around in any way and I would be comfortable with them. They're almost on equal playing ground in different ways for me. We get into some of our favorites here. I want to hear what you had here because one spot up, I had the same album. So go.
This is so fun to tackle with our daughters. Red. That was just, I don't know. It's definitely an episode of ours that will have a nice place in my heart just for the conversation. My mom actually texted me this week and said, I didn't know Annika liked Taylor Swift so much. I like her too. We need to talk about this more.
Oh, wow. Really? Oh, your mom. Your fun. Mom is a Swiftie.
Swifties are hiding everywhere.
That's great.
And, so that was neat to hear. I think this has sparked me maybe more than any of the other artists that we've looked at in this block of 10 to think like, ooh, what else might there be out there that I could get into? We spent maybe more time than usual going over her album arc simply because of the ownership disputes and her Taylor's versions and things like that. So maybe that nudged me to consider some of these other things that are out there. Have a little fun with it. It also feels kind of neat to be surprised by something so recent. I think we both admit from time to time that we've settled into the music that we like. And when we're surprised, it's often like something that came out a long time ago that like takes us by surprise that we've never heard of before. But when it's a newer artist and they surprise me, I think that's even maybe a bigger shock where I'm like, oh, what? This is current. Like, why haven't I gotten into this before if I like it this much? So, that's a bit rambly, but that's why I have it here at the fourth spot.
That's great. And this is one of the albums that surprised you?
Yes, this is one of the two albums here in this top four that I didn't expect to be this high.
And I guess I'll talk about it now as well. number three, Rolling Stone has Super Duper Fly by Missy Elliott. This is where I had Red. Now, I guess it's safe to say like you liked it a lot more than you thought you would. Is that? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. That's really cool. I guess for me, I don't need to listen to this album because Taylor is always on in our house, like all the time and in the car. So I was familiar with so much of this music, having not intentionally listened to the album, but going and listening to it going, man, this is a good album. Like this is good music. Yeah. Just straight up good music. It's fun. There's some emotional stuff. There's heart wrenching stuff. There's fun stuff. There's pop. There's a little country. It's a great album. And I think in terms of her ability as an artist musician, she was still just scratching the surface. It was her fourth. Now she just released her 10th album last year and she's just exploded in terms of popularity. And as a businesswoman, Lily talked a lot about it. Now, Ben, you said a couple things to dive deeper. I would highly recommend her two albums from 2020 that she released, Folklore and Evermore, that are sister albums. It's not country, it's not pop, it's way more chill. We got really that indie folk vibe to a lot of it, which I know you're into. And I think those are two albums you would really enjoy if you're looking to go experience Taylor more. Lover and then Midnights, which just came out, are a lot more on the pop side of it. Still really, really good. So that's what I had read. And, you know, of course, we're listening to Taylor all the time. All my family loves it, especially my wife and my daughter, but all four of us do. so that's where we had that. So let's go to number two. The Rolling Stone had Axis Bold as Love by the
Oh, I don't think you did. I do Car Wheels.
Oh, you got to do yours. I'm so sorry. You do your number three. I'm so sorry. This is an important album.
Okay, no, we merged from red to red.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay, Ben.
Number three, here's where I had Car Wheels. This is my other surprise from my top four.
I
knew nothing about Lucinda Williams, much to my chagrin. And I've listened to this a few more times since we talked with Pia and Susan. And it's just a lovely album, and one that I like having in my back pocket as something I can put on and know that it's going to be good from beginning to end. And
right.
I'll enjoy it, and I can have it on in the background and enjoy it. I can listen more intentionally and enjoy it. It's music that the rest of the family will not mind, maybe even like as well.
Yeah.
And all those things make for a good fit for the top three here. Surprising spot here, but and maybe I probably could have swapped this with Red, had either one in this number three spot, number four spot, but that's where I wound up putting it.
And we like to be diverse and a little
unintentionally, but
that's cool. And it's so cool to hear about that news, the new surprising things that you found.
Yeah.
I guess this next one kind of surprised me too. So this is now, I said into the number two is Bold number as two. Love. But mine is Darkness on the Edge of Hound by Bruce Springsteen. Now, historically, I haven't been a massive Bruce Springsteen fan. I didn't love Born to Run. I thought it was good.
But you said you like this one better than Born to Run.
I really like this album a lot, and I've come back to it a few times.
Really? It's interesting.
Some of the feel of it, you know, the Promised Land and Badlands, like I love that feel. I love all the instrumentation, the guitar, the organ, wicked guitar solos. And as we talked with Greg, you know, Stevie Van Zandt and Bruce Springsteen playing just awesome guitar solos. Clarence Clemons, of course, you know, all these guys. Man, it's fun. Some of the songs are a little cheesy, I guess. We talked about some issues with some of them, but it's a lot of fun. And I think, again, part of the reason I have it this high is the surprise. Like, okay, let's see what this other Bruce album's about. You know, it's probably going to be very much the same as the other Bruce album. It's The Boss is the Boss, and it's kind of all the same, right? And we talked about kind of having this preconceived opinion of Bruce Springsteen when we were younger. You know, it's Born in the USA, and it's... Yeah. You know, that's what this guy's all about. And so I guess I kind of had that idea going into this one as well. And I would turn it on right away. I was like, ooh, I like this. This is not what I thought it would be. This is great. And I just, I was like, okay, just come on, let's keep going. And I kept going. I was like, I love this. This is great. So anyways, another cool surprise for me. So your number two, let's hear it.
This is where I have music from Big Pink, and I just looked back when we did our re-ranking of the 31 to 40 albums. In the original slot, I had it as my second favorite album in that block as well. So I don't know. There's something consistent here about that. I love this album. I don't like it quite as much as their self-titled Brown album, but it's just so good. And I'm glad we got to revisit it again. It was kind of fun and fitting to have it as our number one 100 album, even if it is fallen off much too much for our liking. Easy choice here to have it up this high.
Well, and that, we moved to number one, which was 91, was Darkness on the Edge of Town, Bruce Springsteen. This is where I had music for Big Pink. I listen to this album a lot. I still think I like the Brown album a little better, but they're both very, very good.
Yeah.
And I listen to this all the time. It's the band has just become such a special group for me. And it was a clear choice. Everything else I kind of wrestled with a bit, except for the last few. But this one, it was like right away, yeah, I know. I think every time I listen to it, I like it a little more. The songs that I wasn't so keen on when I first started listening to it, like the opening track, I didn't like at first, Tears of Rage. And now, you know, I love every bit of it. So that's a special one for me. But we've got one more album to discuss. Your number one, and I'm really interested, and I apologize. I always feel bad when I rank your favorite album a little lower.
It was not surprising. I already said anecdotally, your experience of Automatic for the People is going back to the 90s to listen to something, whereas mine has much more nostalgia along for the ride.
You don't have to go back as far because you listened to it, in the early 2000s and then since, right? So.
Absolutely. Yeah. This is the album I've listened to the most out of this list. And that familiarity, I'm sure, plays a huge role in why I put it here. It's an album I continue to want to put on, an album that was kind of neat to, sort of bittersweet, I guess, to discover the love and appreciation of a really interesting and incredible guy who passed away, and to get to know Scott because of that was kind of a neat way for this podcast to connect around storytelling as well.
Special conversation. Yeah. And so grateful to Scott for sharing that friendship relationship we had and sharing more about Michael with us was really, really wonderful. And thank you, Scott, again for sharing that time with us.
It's, usually the first thing I do when I'm looking at these blocks of 10 is say, okay, any easy number ones? And my eyes were drawn right to it. That's one I don't even have to think about. So there it is. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's our 10, feel free to tell us what we got right, what we got wrong. Leave us a message, post a comment, on our posting on Facebook or Instagram or whatever. But that's how we redid them. A really fun group of 10. Mm-hmm. And sometimes there's a whole handful that I'm like, I just don't know what to do with this. And really, even the ones that I put near the bottom, I still thought they were good.
Yeah.
Just not my favorite. So a really fun group of 10, some new stuff, some familiar stuff. Jumping from genre to genre, back and forth.
A lot of pivoting.
Hip-hop to classic rock to 90s alt country to metal, country pop, just everything. Heartland rock.
Yeah,
a lot of fun.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Okay, so next part, if you're new to this, we go back and we look at all the albums we've done. We spend a little time reviewing, and we see if any of these albums make our top 10 of all the albums we've reviewed, which is now 100 albums on this list, and see if that list, that the past 10 change at all. Because sometimes I look back and I go, maybe I'll shuffle them around a bit. So let's see what we got here. Now,
it's been a few re-ranks before since we last had an album make the cut, right?
Right. So I'm looking, and if I'm reading correctly, did you change yours? You did a little bit.
Yeah. Not a drastic change. Pet Sounds is an album that's been on as long as we've been doing this block of albums. And what dawned on me this time was I think that's there for an appreciation rather than how much I want to return to that album.
Sure.
It's seminal in a lot of ways, influenced a lot of people. It's an incredible album and one that I own and like to listen to. But Automatic for the People gets listened to far more than Pet Sounds in my house. And so that was sort of where I started thinking, okay, well, Automatic for the People deserves to be on here, but where? Pet Sounds had been in my sixth spot, I believe.
Yeah.
And initially I was like, well, just maybe slot it in there. But, you know, as I started to hold it up against some other stuff, Born to Run, the band's Brown album, I thought, I think I want it behind those. And for whatever reason, the day that I slotted it in, I felt like Tapestry and Inner Visions were okay after it. So it's not often that an album gets added in such a strange way, but I took out, you know, a middle of the pack album to slot in one in the eighth spot, I guess, here now.
Okay.
But yeah, just a slight tweak. And I'm noticing here now you've sort of done something similar. It's not from this list.
I looked at it and I was going to leave it, and then I decided to change one thing, and then it all fell apart. pull that one little thread, and it just unravels. So
that's funny.
So two albums I removed for kind of the same reason. I thought, you know what? I don't listen to these. So one was Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. Huh. It's an amazing album. I don't listen to it.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was like, well, why is it here?
Right.
It's an awesome album. One of the best ever. Number one, two-time back-to-back champion. Back-to-back. You know?
Yeah.
And the other one was Zeppelin IV. Zeppelin IV. Oh my gosh. What a titan of an album. I don't listen to it.
Yeah.
I haven't in a long time. So there was two albums I put on. One from this list, Music for Big Pink. I thought, man, I listen to that so much. It's got to be on my top 10. It has to be. And then I put it up actually in the seventh spot because I realized I listened to it more than some of the other albums. Huh. Another one was from a while ago. I think it was album number 63. And as I looked back, I went back through all of them. I went back through this whole, I scanned through all the last 100. Are there any albums that I listen to a lot? And one
you've overlooked.
Steely Dan's Asia. I listen to that a lot. I listen to it a lot. So I was like, it's got to be on here. Wow. And I realized I listened to both of those albums more than I listened to Carole King's Tapestry, which I'm still not ready to let go of yet because it's such a great album.
Yeah.
And Jimi Hendrix, Are You Experienced, which is just hanging on at number 10 for the longest time. I almost bumped it, but it's just pretty awesome.
Wow.
And I shuffled a few other things around. And one of the things is I thought, why have I got three Beatles albums?
Okay, in the top?
And so I bumped one. But then I put a band album, and I've already got another band album. So I've got two bands taking up four spots in the top 10. So I still feel maybe there could be more diversity. That's or maybe funny. Said something about me. So
yeah.
So I moved, and then I moved a couple things around based on, like, Abbey Road was in my number four spot, but I moved it down to six because I don't listen to it as much as the Brown album.
Okay.
And Rumors. And Rumors is one on vinyl, and my youngest kid asks me a lot, if we're going to put on an album, it's almost always Rumors.
Really? Interesting.
Yes. Hey, we're cooking or we're doing something. You want to put on a record? Yeah. Rumors? Can we do Rumors? Sure. So we listen to that a lot, and I love it. My kid loves it, so it's there. Do you want to read through them?
We just about named them all there.
But not in order.
Not in order, sure. Yeah.
OCD. OCD's wigging out.
Starting at the top, my favoriteest album of these 100, I guess, Songs in the Key of Life by Stevie Wonder. Then Marvin Gaye's What's Going On, Joni Mitchell's Blue, Fleetwood Mac's Rumors, mm-hmm. Beatles' Abbey Road, Springsteen's Born to Run, the band's Brown album, Automatic for the People, new entry, and Carole King's Tapestry, and Stevie Wonder's Inner Visions, which, yeah, like you said, with Are You Experienced, just sort of hanging on there at 10. It's not too long ago. I think prior to hearing Songs in the Key of Life, where it was like near the top of my list, and it's interesting to see it sort of slipping down there in danger of falling off if I add something else. But
it's the Stevie Wonder bookends of your list.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
The bookends.
What an awesome group of 10 albums. My goodness.
Well, it's hard to go wrong with
any
of these 100, I guess.
Right?
Or any of these 99, I should say.
That's another conversation. I'm going to go from 10 to 1 just to be difficult and different.
Okay, yep.
As I'm apt to be.
So move the spreadsheets 10, in your minds, everyone.
Yeah, sure. Number 10, Jimi Hendrix Experience, Are You Experienced? Number 9, Carole King's Tapestry. Number 8, Steely Dan's Asia. Man, I love that album. The Band, music from Big Pink. The Beatles' Abbey Road. Fleetwood Mac's Rumors. Number 4 is the band's self-titled album, the Brown Album. Joni Mitchell's Blue at number 3. Number 2, Dark Side of the Moon, Pink Floyd. Come on, man. And my number 1 album, which you don't have on your list, which is fine because I did the same for your number 1 album. the Beatles' Revolver, still my favorite. Wow. I mean, there's some overlap there, but if you took all those albums and made a stack of those records, whoa.
I feel good owning any of those.
It's awesome. So cool. So great. So we got 10 more we're going to do. And I noticed something when looking through this list of 10. Now, we haven't really done this in a list of 10, talked about how many of those artists we've seen live. I went back through, and I don't think there was ever a case where either one of us had seen more than one in a group of 10. And in fact, I think it's possible that the only bands we've seen live so far from the list are the Rolling Stones and AC/DC. I don't think we've seen any others. I didn't see any that I thought that either me or you had seen, unless I'm missing something. But I don't think we have. So in this group of 10, I've actually seen 2.
Wow.
And you know one, the Rolling Stones, we saw it together. And you actually, before we started recording, mentioned that you realized the second one was De La Soul. We saw De La Soul. I'll tell a really quick story. I'll probably tell it again when we do it. We went to a music festival in 2017 in the summer called the Big Festival. And it was a food and music festival north of Orillia. And it's something that happened in the UK. They brought over here. That only happened once in Canada, but there was all sorts of local bands. There was some other big names. Ben Harper was there, Weezer, OK Go, the Strumbellas, like lots of bands. Fred Penner was there. A huge children's artist from Canada, beloved from when we were growing up. Gen Zs and older millennials will absolutely love him. And, the last night, I think it was the third last band, was De La Soul. And they're a hip-hop act, and they were playing. And after one of their first few tracks, it was a song that had a particular amount of cussing in it. A good amount of cuss words. And then they finished the song, and it was a very, you got to understand, it was a family event. Tons of families, you know, very, very calm. So they finished the song, and they were chatting amongst themselves, and one of them came to the mic and said, listen, it was just brought our attention that this is a family weekend and a family event, and we swear a lot, so we're really sorry about that. I don't think they modified any of their songs after, but they really recognized that, like, it maybe wasn't the crowd that they were used to playing to. That's, you know, really a bunch funny. Of middle-class suburban white people mostly listening to a hip-hop act with roots into the 80s.
That's hilarious. Wow.
The album we're going to discuss is from 89. So, like, they're an act that's been around for a long time. I really didn't and still don't know much of them. They were awesome. They were very entertaining. Tons of great energy. And even my kids got up and were dancing around. They were much younger at the time. As we prepared for OK Go and Weezer to come on, we listened to the fun, soulful R&B hip-hop sounds of De La Soul. So it was awesome. That's kind of my fun memory. Well, I'm sure I'll bring that up again.
And really fascinating, because I think this upcoming album of theirs doesn't have an explicit lyrics warning on it. I think there's only one song that gets flagged well, by Spotify. So they're relatively clean. At least they were at times. So.
Well, we've talked about that. So funny. Huh. We have talked about that, Ben. I don't want to get too deep into it. That it's not until you get into the early 90s, like 92,
like things
you get
start into to change.
Wu-Tang Clan, Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, Nas, Biggie, you get a lot more cursing. The acts we've listened to in the 80s, Eric B. and Rakim, Public Enemy, and some other ones in the 80s, really not much cussing at all. A Tribe Called Quest in the very early 90s, then you get into NWA and the other ones I talked about, there's a lot more cursing.
Well, I was going to say we maybe need a guest for this, but you're an expert having seen them live, so we won't need one.
Anyways, again, unless I've got it wrong, that might only be the third artist.
Well, I always feel a little bit weird including this, but I was at the Philadelphia stage of Live 8. And as you were saying that, I was just thinking, man, there were some pretty big artists there. Let me see.
Jay-Z. So,
the Eagles,
right?
Jay-Z.
Okay.
Kanye.
Yep. Beyonce, right?
Beyonce was not at that stage.
Oh, she wasn't? Was she at another stage?
Apparently not.
Oh.
Stevie Wonder. I would have never been able to say that I'd seen Stevie Wonder before, but so yes, I've seen a few of these from a very far distance.
I forgot that you were at that. Do you remember seeing Stevie Wonder there?
No.
Okay.
I mean, I can make up a memory, I'm sure. All these artists were like on a screen. The closest we got to the stage was still pretty far back. It was, it was an urban concert where, we were sort of wandering most of the day just trying to figure out where we were in the city. But and a mixture of like they would have live feed from around the world too. So some of the stuff was just pre-recorded or not pre-recorded, but not, we were watching bands from around the world while we were there too. So a very different kind of concert experience.
Interesting.
The ones that you were thinking of were AC/DC and the Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
Those are the two from the,
We saw them together at,
together.
I guess they were on a screen, but we could see the stage.
Yeah.
Half a million people there. And we were pretty far back, but
pretty far back.
We could see
about as close as I think I got at Live 8. It may be a little bit closer than that, but, Oh, cool. Yeah. I'm excited for this block. There's a lot of stuff. It feels like that I don't know much about,
Same.
And some things that I'm really excited to tackle. I've already started listening to that De La Soul album and it's pretty cool. And, there's another one here, who I have seen live. Fiona Apple, came out and played with the Watkins siblings, Sean and Sarah, of Nickel Creek when we used to go and see them live in California. So I've seen at least her perform for a couple of songs, at a live concert. So we've got some interesting artists in this block here coming up.
Okay. Well, I don't want to say too much more about it, taking away from our actual episodes, but
it'll be fun.
A lot, and a good mix of genres again, of albums and artists we're familiar and some that I've never even heard of. There's an artist coming up and I won't say now, but that I would have to Google right now to tell you anything about them. I don't know anything about them. So anyways.
And another Canadian. And we've got a Joni album.
Album. Yeah. Oh, man, I'm excited. It's the last one of this block at 10, but boy, I'm looking forward to it. Court and Spark is an album I have, and it's
good.
It's beautiful. So anyways, listen, thanks for sticking around. I hope you enjoy some of our rambling and chatting about that. I hope that's fun for you. And, if you want to be a part of that, get involved. post something to us and like we said, it's not an overly prestigious podcast. I think the chance that if you reached out to us and said you wanted to be a guest, the chance that we would say yes to you is very high. I want to say 100%, but like really close to 100%. So if that's something you're interested in, if you're like, hey, I've never been on a podcast, that'd be fun. Just drop us a line. There's an album coming up that I really like. I'd love to. Hey, come on, join us. It's fun.
Perfect.
Thanks again to all our guests in this last 10. It was great to have your voices and to share your experiences. We absolutely, you know, we have a lot of fun, the two of us, but oh boy, it's sure fun to have a guest or even two, as we did twice in this group of 10, to have two guests join us. It's a blast. So anyways, thanks to all our guests. Thanks to those listening. And Ben, here we go again, another 10. Woohoo!
Can't wait.
All right.
We'll see you next time when we get back. And we're not sure how soon, but when we do, it will be to talk about one we've actually talked about before. We'll rejoin you with our review of Led Zeppelin's self-titled album from 1969.
Okay. Until that time, we hope you continue to be well. We hope you take care of yourselves and those around you. And we certainly hope you continue to follow. We hope, what I want to say is we hope you join us again right here next time on the SoundLogic Podcast. Take care and thanks for listening. If you like what you hear, subscribe on your favorite podcast app and write a review.
Send us a message at our Facebook page, on Instagram, or through our SoundLogic Podcast Twitter feed. Thanks for listening.